Joe Blewett, Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And you are listening to Jet Nation Radio. I am your host, Brandon Dowling, alongside with Joe Blewett. We have a great show for you tonight. Define great, I mean more along the lines of miserable Jet fans out there all tuning in to one show to talk about one thing, and that is New York Jets football. We have so much to dive into. We're coming right off a Monday Night Football loss. You know, everybody's still kind of taking it in today. Game didn't get over till late. All the fans didn't get home till late last night, myself and Joe included. I mean, it's a game where you almost can't put your finger on it. You know, the Jets start off the game as bad as you could possibly start a game. You know, Geno Smith, obviously, with the poor decision on the pick six screen right off the bat before you can even put mustard on your hot dog. The Jets are down 7-0. Go get yourself a Diet Coke and sit down 30 seconds later, and Jalen Saunders is dropping a punt at midfield, and Cutler and the Bears take over right there and get what I thought was a absolute joke of a pass interference call. But it's the NFL. I mean, these pass interference and these defensive holding calls, they're going to get thrown. You might as well just throw one deep ball every single drive and hope for a flag, because you're going to get it, you know, 50% of the time. You know, Geno Smith last night, it was almost like, you don't want to say a tale of two games, because it was just so hot and cold. I mean, you look at Geno's performance last night. We'll get to the discussion. I've been hearing so much discussion, and from the fans, listening to the people jumping in the show on the fifth quarter show on ESPN, the postgame show last night, calling for Michael Vick. Joe Beningo making an asinine comment on the air today on FAN, starting his show, talking about Michael Vick. It's insane. I mean, you look at Geno Smith's body of work last night. Sure, you're disappointed. Sure, he played probably his worst game this year. Sure, he made bad decisions. But when you compare the night that he had, obviously, with Jay Cutler, first off, you're asking Geno Smith to drop back 43 times in a football game. That is a recipe for disaster. I don't know any team outside of having Rodgers, Breeze, or Tom Brady as your quarterback who wants their quarterback to drop back 43 times. That's the first thing. Geno Smith last night was 26 of 43 for 316 yards, a touchdown, and two picks. Could have had more interceptions, obviously, but the Bears dropped the ball on a couple of them. Look at Cutler's night. 23 of 38 for 225 yards. How many pick six? How many picks did the Jets drop on Jay Cutler's? And he could have had three or four as well. I mean, you want to compare the two quarterbacks last night. They're very eerily similar in terms of their numbers, except obviously Cutler with the extra touchdown on a blown coverage, wide open play, and the Jets dropping interceptions. So everybody's on Geno Smith. Everybody's, you know, getting on the quarterback. A Jets quarterback throwing for 316 yards, in my opinion, is a good game yardage-wise. But you can't ask your quarterback to throw the ball 43 times. That was one of the disappointments. In the first half, you saw what could happen when this team doesn't get pressure on the quarterback. They're sitting ducks in the secondary. They have no chance against any decent wide receivers if they're not getting pressure to the quarterback. Those are the two big things that stood out to me last night. Before we dive into the callers, Joe, what's going on, my man?
Same old stuff, Brandon. The loss last night hurt a lot. There's a lot of negatives. There's some positives as well. We'll get into all of that. But like you said about Geno, he definitely had his worst games going back into last year. He has four total picks so far, and he has five total turnovers, which is leading the league right now, which is obviously not a positive thing. There's a couple throws in there which definitely could have been picked off. He definitely made some bad decisions. We'll get into that later. There were some good things. Ivory ran the ball well. Amaro got a little bit more involved. And then you have Calvin Pryor, who looked actually pretty solid in pass protection and pass coverage. So we'll get into that later. But overall, I was disappointed. We had many chances to win the game. I definitely left not happy. I'm definitely ready for Sunday to get this bad taste out of my mouth, Brandon.
Oh, I mean, what's good thing about Monday night is you're on a short week. If it's a Thursday night, it's the worst because it carries over all the way in to next week throughout the weekend. But let's go right to it. Zach is on our line. Zach wants to talk about Geno. Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, what's up, guys? I was very disappointed, you know, with the whole entire game itself, the way it started, you know, with the with the pick six at the beginning. I know I think he's either trying to do too much. They kind of lost their game over there. You know, they're very you know, used to doing ground and pound. They may have got, I think Marty Morningweg, I think he went away from that. You know, as you see, they started off the game, you know, throwing off little shoveling passes, which is fine. But, you know, you got to realize, Gino needs to realize where he is at the game, you know, who's in front of him, what he's got to do. And, you know, at the end of the day, he's not getting the job done, you know. Next thing you know, they're going to be chanting Vic. who would have thought, you know. But, you know, I can't really give up on Gino because, you know, it's way too early in the season, and I still think he can have a bounce-back season and, you know, recover from this very quickly. But, you know, he's got to really take some of the blame because he's really not taking any of the blame. He's just, you know, he just keeps saying that, you know, how his receivers, you know, he likes all his receivers, Nelson, Curley, you know, Salas, providing the much-needed offense. But, they went out. They had a couple of really good drives, moving the ball pretty nicely down the field. But, you know, the one thing I saw was that they, when Ivy ran the ball, they put in Chris Johnson. No offense to Chris Johnson. He's one heck of a running back. But when you have Ivory, who's like almost a Curtis Martin in a way, and is grounding and pounding it, you don't just put in another running back, you know. You got to keep him. You got to keep him going, keep his legs fresh. And, you know, another thing I was very disappointed about is this Wildcat thing. It's been going on since the beginning opener of the season. You can't just put in a Michael Vick in the middle of the game. Number one, it ruins Geno's offensive mentality because it gets in his head. Why would you put in Michael Vick in the Wildcat when, you know, it just confuses you. Even Michael Vick said the Wildcat confuses the quarterback, and they're still doing it yet again. So, I mean, that I didn't get, you know.
Well, you know something, Zach? I mean, let's go back to your first point. You know, I understand where you're coming from, that Geno Smith needs to take the blame. I mean, we're also sitting here. We're talking about bounce-back seasons. It's weak. No, we're going into week number four. I mean, I've never seen a fan base, and I've never even seen anything close to like this in my life, where we're sitting here even having this conversation. Geno Smith, okay, has played average the past couple weeks. He had a great first half against the Packers. That was definitely probably one of his best performances in a first half, maybe as a Jet overall. You look at the game last night. Geno Smith is asked to do things that most quarterbacks in this league are not capable of doing. Why are you starting the game trying to throw the ball all over the field? When you're getting back into the game, why are you moving away from Chris Ivory? Why is Chris Ivory touching the ball 10 times, averaging 4.5 yards a carry, and he's got 44 yards on 10 carries? I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And for even anybody out there, and I said this on Twitter before, if you actually believe, truly in your heart and in your head, that Michael Vick is the answer at quarterback right now for the Jets, and that Geno Smith is the reason why this team is sitting at 1-2, you got to find a hobby. I said it before. You got to maybe play some cards, collect baseball cards, find something else to do, because you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. And that's not directed at you, Zach, but overall, people calling into shows, this is exactly why the New York Jets have been looking for a franchise quarterback since Joe Namath left this franchise, because they have the patience of a 2-year-old. You're sitting out there, and you got a quarterback who's playing pretty well, who shows signs of moving the ball, and you don't put – when your coordinators – don't set a quarterback up, a young second-year quarterback up to win, he's not going to be successful on his own. He's not that type of quarterback. You can't let him be Peyton Manning and go out and call plays and do whatever he wants. Why are you running a QB draw play in the end zone? Why are you throwing the ball 43 times in a game when it's a 5-point game at home? Why aren't you handing the ball off to Chris Ivory? Why are you having him throw across his body across the field for 30 to 40-yard passes and getting picked off? Why are you setting the Jets? What works for the Jets is setting their quarterback up to succeed. making, you know, keeping the defense on their toes, running the ball down people's throats, setting up the bootleg and play action pass, and moving the football. Last night, they tried to be an air attack team, and it shows what happens. Your team is not set up for it. There are few teams in this league. You saw what happened when the Ravens had Joe Flacco throw the ball 60 times in a game. They lost. When your quarterback throws the ball over 35 times in a game, you're usually going to lose the game. So I think people need to get a grip. They really need to get a grip on talking about Geno Smith. Because if you're ready to throw Geno Smith, because guess what? I'll tell you right now, the minute Geno Smith gets put on that bench and somebody else comes in, it's over. Geno Smith is done. He will not take another snap for the New York Jets if he is benched. That means your confidence is gone on him. That means you're no longer interested in him as a quarterback for the future, and he's done. And if you're ready to do that in week four, when the Jets could easily be sitting at 3-0 right now, if they they're beating themselves out there, then you lost. You're delusional. Delusional is the word that I have for people. That's the word that I have for people out there tonight. Delusion is what I see out there.
Right. No. I totally understand that. You know, I bought into Geno since week one. I think he's a phenomenal quarterback, and I don't think it's the problem at offense. They're way skilled at offense. They have so much talent in offense, you know, and it's frustrating. It's frustrating, you know, as a fan and, like, you know, because you expect him to do so much because it's alongside that, you know, he's ready. This is his second year. He just finished his rookie year. You know, he's a phenomenal quarterback, you know.
Zach, I wouldn't go with phenomenal, but I mean, here's the reality of it. You can't look at the problem with the Jets and the problem, and I don't think anybody in the Jets organization has in the back of their mind Michael Vick or the backup quarterback. The problem with the Jets fan out there is it's amazing that you put all the blame on the quarterback. He threw for 316 yards last night, and he easily could have had more if put together the defense, not committing any, besides the fumble, we'll get to that later, but, you know, the defense dropping interceptions left and right, they didn't give him any help. They were getting torched in the beginning of the game. Saunders fumbling the ball at midfield. The Jets have so many mental mistakes and so many errors, but the one positive that you take from this game, the Jets are a good football team. They really are. They're a good football team. They can move the ball. If they get pressure on the quarterback, they can make good plays on defense. This is a good team that, what I said from the beginning, they can compete with any team in this league outside of the Seattles and the Denvers of the world. I really believe that. And I thought last night it was another game they should have won and another game the Jets beat themselves. But don't tell me that Geno Smith, you're ready to walk away from a guy in the third game of the season who's actually played pretty well up to this point.
Yeah, Brandon, I have to agree with you that there's no way that any Jets fan should be calling for Michael Vick right now. And it just makes no sense. Why would you want to have Vick come in right now, have Geno on the bench, and then next year we're in the same situation where you don't know what Geno has and Michael Vick is either on another team or retired. So I don't understand why Jets fans would even want that to happen. But in saying that, Geno definitely did make some mistakes. Like, I believe we're on the 18-yard line. There's like 5 minutes left, and it's and Geno throws that lollipop pass to David Nelson on a first down, which is terrible. He's rolling out to the left.
Why aren't you running the ball on that first down? Why aren't you handing the ball off?
Exactly. But Geno also made a poor decision to throw the ball while he's jumping and off bounds to David Nelson on third down. I don't know. If you're throwing a jump ball to anybody on our team, I probably have more faith in Curley than I do in David Nelson. So I don't know why he's doing that. I don't know. Also in the last play, it was first down on our last set of downs of the game. And if you remember, Geno threw the ball to Salas, and it got tipped up in the air, and Curley almost caught it in the back of the end zone. But it turns out on that play that Curley was sitting there in the back of the end zone, wide open, waving his hand to Geno to throw the ball.
Let me ask you a question. What happens if the Bears, okay, how many balls did Jay Cutler pass that was underthrown to Alshon Jeffries that was right in the hands of the Jets for an interception? That was right in the hands of the Jets. If the Jets, the difference in the what happened. Quarterbacks that aren't elite in this league, the middle of the pack quarterbacks, they're going to make mistakes. Jay Cutler made plenty of mistakes last night, but the difference was the Bears capitalized on Geno's mistakes.
I understand what you're saying there, but you can't just rely on the other team not capitalizing on the mistakes. Geno has to put us in a position where he's not making the mistakes, and all the Jets fans are hoping that the corner has an off day and drops the ball. So Geno definitely has some stuff to improve, and I understand why fans are concerned about him. There's no way that I would warrant saying that Vic should come in right now, because that's absolutely ridiculous in my mind. I would be very upset with that happening. But I do agree with you that we need to run the ball more. When you pass the ball 46 times in the game and you only run it 26 times, when Ivory is one of the he's definitely a solid running back, and I really think that he's doing well so far this year. But I do see the reason for concern for Jets fans.
Hello, guys.
Yeah, go ahead, Zach.
Yep.
Yeah, up, Zach. One more thing. Yeah, I also wanted to mention something. I saw that they released links there, and they picked up Brandon. I think Brandon Smith. They signed him to their practice squad. Their cornerback situation, isn't great either. You know, with like I said last week, you know, they should really pick up guys like Champ Bailey. I mean, why would you want to have a guy like Phillip Adams instead of a Champ Bailey? You need a veteran guy that can go in there and who knows how to play the game. He doesn't need to be a Darrell Revis, you know, create his own island, but at least he knows how to play the game. He knows how to, you know, take down defenders, you know. I'd rather have him than all these guys. But, you know,
Zach,
I honestly...
You're 100% on point. You're 100% on point. You have to make these... You have to try and do whatever you can to put guys and mix things around. Because, again, we saw it. Their secondary and it was getting picked apart until the Jets finally got pressure on Cutler. They finally disrupted him, and they finally got things going. But, I mean, you're right on point with that. I've been calling for that for a while. Zach, I appreciate the call, my man.
No problem. Thank you guys so much.
All right, Zach. Take care, buddy.
You too, guys. Bye.
That was Zach, who wants to call in, you know, every week now. It's good to have routine callers. Let's go to another one of our routine callers, Josh, who wants to talk about the Jets as a whole. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, how you doing, guys? It's real quick, I like to say that we should, us as Jets fans, we shouldn't really worry. We have every reason to worry, but once again, this is, to me, I feel like this was week two all over again, especially with the last play, but I get to that. What I'm trying to say is this. Geno Smith, yeah, we even – all. I remember, 2 weeks ago, both of y'all were saying he will end up having a bad game, a bad night, and he did. I'd rather him have it last night than, you know, going against – the Broncos or something, but to the point now. Geno Smith, give him a break. Michael Vick, you see what happened when you put Michael Vick on the field. Everything is falling apart. Keep Geno Smith on the field. Use Chris Ivory. Mix it up a lot more and use our tight ends. Average offense play. A good defense, and we could go farther, and we prove it. Yes, a few hiccups in the first quarter, but look how fast we came back. They couldn't even score. They finally scored towards the end, but think about it. They couldn't even score. If we could get our team together and rally them up, we actually have a weapon. And it's no iron team. Our weapon is a team. Geno Smith needs to realize he got a team. It's not just him like last year. Now, I would like to hear your opinions. I actually got a question to ask you, but I really want to hear your opinion on that.
Well, Josh, like you said, there was definitely some positives from the game. Like you said, our offense was moving the ball. We definitely moved the ball very well from 28-yard line to 20-yard line. But when you go 1-for-6 in the red zone, you can't expect to beat any team. I don't care if it's the Browns, the Raiders, the Buccaneers. I don't care who it is. You can't go 1-6 in the red zone. That's not acceptable. like you said that the offense needs to get more. We need to get more involved in offense. We need to get more of Amaro. We saw some of him. He had some catches in that game. He had a big third down conversion. But we need to get Amaro and Cumberland more involved. There's some other positives though. Like you said, DeMario Davis is definitely stepping up. Decker, well, you know, another bad thing is that Decker played 12 snaps, which I wasn't very happy about because Decker shouldn't be playing at all because he obviously is hurt and he showed that he was hurt. But yeah, there's definitely positives. I take away positives. It was the first time since 2008 we had 6 red zone trips, which is good. We had 414 yards, but stats can be deceiving. You know, if we have I'd rather have 200 yards and 5 touchdowns a game than 414 yards and 4 field goals. Whoever has Nick Folk on their fantasy team is happy right now. But yeah, I agree with you. There's some positives, but I think I took more negatives out of this game, though, Josh. But I would like to thank you for the call, though, Josh.
Go ahead.
You have another question? Go ahead. Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, that was just a little motivating speech because everybody getting on Geno Smith. That's all. But now back to my little question I want to ask you. Honestly, truthfully, don't this remind you of week 2? Like, you remember week 2, the pass interference call, and then we got screwed over with that timeout. Now look what happened. Clearly, that rookie ran into Curry. I mean, Curry. You know what I'm saying? I actually hit rewind so many times just to see that play. He literally hit him in the chest plate before Curry even touched the ball and pushed him out of bounds. Come on. He was perfectly in bounds. He literally got shoved out of bounds, and there was no timeout. I mean, not timeout. There was no pass interference. I know the game was supposed to be over, but, you know, a call should have been called.
No, I mean, Josh, the referees in the game last night, now don't get me wrong. Again, this is another game where I thought the Jets did not deserve, you know, I'm really torn because I actually thought the Jets played good enough to win. I thought they outplayed Chicago last night. You look at the box scores, it's just the way the offense, the way the stats are, they're so similar. I mean, Matt Forte, 13 carries for 33 yards. Then you got Ivory and Johnson who went for 44 and 34. Geno Smith going for 316 on 43 attempts. And Cutler going for 225 on 38 attempts. So it comes down to the Bears defense made plays against Geno Smith. The Jets defense did not make plays against Jay Cutler when they had opportunities. They let those plays slip away. But if you want to talk about the referees and the blunders, I mean, it's so blatantly obvious. The New York Jets got so, I mean, I don't know what the terminology anybody wants to use out there, but the one thing that was the worst was that fumble before the half. I mean, the rule in the NFL is you are supposed to let the play – there is no reason why you don't let a play out. You don't blow a play dead. You let the play out, and then you deal with it after. Then you go back – because if you review the play, if the Jets picked it up for a touchdown and they ran it back for a touchdown and they looked back under the hood and they clearly saw it was not a fumble and he was down by contact, there is no harm there. No harm, no foul.
How about the
pass interference? It's done. Besides that, I'll get to that in a second.
Hey, I gotta go. Hey, go Jets.
All right, thanks, Josh.
I know other people on the phone.
And, you know, let's look at the fumble play. You know, you're looking at from a point of view where you have to let that play out. You can't blow a play dead like that because, like I was saying, if they go under the hood, right, Joe, and they look at it and they say, you know, it's clear he's down by contact, put the ball back where it was, you're done. You wipe your hands clean of it, you're good to go. Or
yeah, exactly.
Just let it be.
Exactly.
I mean, you have to – the Jets got absolutely – it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. That's another clear rule play. You don't blow the play dead. You let the play out, and you deal with it after. That's how it's supposed to be done. The pass interference, I mean, what are we going to sit here? We're going to nitpick every pass interference call in the NFL? There are so many of them every single week. It's such a big part of the game now. It almost ruins the game. Walls had perfect coverage on him. I thought it was actually offensive pass interference because he was going to make an interception, and the guy put his hand in his face. So
Jeffrey almost had him in a Hulk Hogan wrestling move there with an arm lock. I saw that. But, yeah, like you were saying about the fumble, refs are taught to not blow the whistle until they absolutely know the result of the play. So they could have definitely just waited it out, let DeMario Davis run into the end zone, went under the hood, and if they saw that it wasn't a fumble, they'd have ruled it back. But instead, they blew the whistle, so the play was ruled dead, and then the run back wasn't counted. So the refs did hurt us, and like you said about the pass interference, it was an awful call. You can't nitpick at all that stuff, but that was a pretty bad flag by the refs. If anything, it should have been. Yeah, exactly. It happens, and then you have the Curley play at the end of the game where it clearly looks like, I forget exactly what corner it was, but it looked like he forced him out, even though I don't think he meant to, but it looks like he moved Curley's body from where it was going to end up, and he affected him, so I think they should have threw the flag on that. But you can't nitpick at that. If we would have capitalized in the red zone one or two more times and got another touchdown or two, it wouldn't have mattered. So I think that's what losing fans and fans of losing teams do, is they nitpick at the little penalties and all that stuff. But I don't want to see the Jets games get decided by a penalty or two or the refs being on the Jets side. I want to see the Jets.
Yeah, but it's not even about the refs being on your side. I mean, that's another clear. The NFL has to release a statement. You know, that's another rule book blunder that the referees completely screwed up. That's you want to talk about pass interference, holding here, you know, you feel like the refs aren't against you. That's clear as day. That's everybody out there, you know, writing articles, covering the game from an objective point of view, because let's be honest, we all look at it from the view as Jet fans. We're all Jet fans here. You know, we look at it from the positive and how, you know, the Jets, you're hitting the screw the Jets button every single week. You know, but when you look at it from objective people's point of view who have no dog in the fight in this, you know, they're sitting there out there at halftime saying the Jets should be up 20-10 in this game. They should be winning this football game, but they're not. And you know what? That's the reality of it. They have to look themselves in the mirror. They have to understand, guess what? We can play with any team in this league. We have a good football team. We can run the ball. We can pass the ball. We can move the ball through the air, and we can get to the quarterback. We have keys to success. They need to put it together. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the positives from this football game. I actually thought there were more positives than negatives from this football game, despite what people, you know, despite what people are looking at. I think the Jets are not in deep trouble yet. Everybody's sitting here. We're in week. There are a lot of good teams out there that are 1-2. The Niners are 1-2. The Packers are 1-2, and so on. Good teams out there are 1-2. We're not hitting the panic button going into week 4. And I'll also tell you another reason when we get back from the break why these losses are not catastrophic down the stretch when we start talking about, you know, records like we were last year. Back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Since the average attention span is now about 27 seconds thanks to ADD, ADHD, and bad TV, if you're a business of any kind, how do you reach your future clients? You need a marketing partner ready to implement those online strategies and properly target the right audience with the right information using the right media. You need the Strategic Peacock. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence and help create potential growth. When you're ready to understand how the modern mind works, go to strategicpeacock.com and develop the right web strategy for you. Strategicpeacock.com.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting your music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
What seems to be the problem?
I don't know, doctor. I just feel sick.
What have you been listening to recently?
I don't really know. Just whatever's on, I guess.
Seems
to me like you have a serious case of bad music. Am I going to die? Is it contagious? Is it dangerous? It can be dangerous. It can cause headaches, earaches, vomiting, nausea, and in extreme cases, even death. Oh no! What should I do? I am going to prescribe to you 60 milligrams of Indie Outbreak. It'll help prevent bad music disease and will make your life better and worth living. Thanks, Doc!
Alongside with Joe Blewett. So we've talked about the negatives. You know, the negatives were Geno Smith with some poor decisions, Marty Morningwake obviously not setting him up to succeed and going away from what works, the defense not being able to get takeaways and produce, you know, get more turnovers that were out there. Cutler threw up some passes that easily the Jets could have taken in a different direction. You know, the play calls, obviously, along with the secondary getting carved up and no pressure from the D-line in the first half. Those are the negatives. Now, I want to look at it from a throwing the officials as well as a negative. I want to look at it from the positive point of view that makes me feel, as a Jets fan today on Tuesday, still very confident in this team to succeed and get into the mix in terms of winning enough games and getting into a run to be potential, you know, a wild card team. Because I think the Jets are a good – I don't think they're an average football team. I think they're a good football team. They need – to put with when the Jets finally figure out a way, we might be 80 years old, by the way, Joe. When the Jets figure out a way to put two and two together, where their offense is clicking like they were in the first half of the Green Bay game, and their defense is clicking like they were, you know, towards the end of the Monday night game last night when Cutler couldn't move the ball whatsoever, this team is successful. This team shows signs that, again, they can. The Bears and the Packers, 2 weeks in a row, those aren't easy football games. These are playoff teams. These are good NFC North, pound-in-your-face, aggressive football teams with two good quarterbacks. These are tough games. The Jets aren't going out there, you know, with a poor schedule to start. They're in murder's row right now. They got the Lions coming in on Sunday with Megatron and Matthew Stafford. So it doesn't get any easier. But when I look at the positives, I even thought Geno Smith was one of the positives. I thought Geno Smith moved the ball. I thought one thing that he went away from last night, he had plenty of chances to take off with his legs. Instead of throwing that interception, tuck it away and run for 4 or 5 yards. You know, that's what was working in the beginning for him. So some positives I took away from that was I really like the way the Jets move the ball at times. I like the way their defensive line got after it. And their secondary played pretty well when the defensive line obviously was getting pressure there. So my positives are the Jets still look like a good football team. They look like they belong playing with the Packers and the Bears and these good teams. We're going to see how they pan out against the Lions on Sunday. I think that they're, you know, going to be in a hungry fight for a W because you don't want to fall to 1-3. But one other thing that I was talking about in terms of why, if you're going to pick games to lose, these are games that you want to. Nobody's going to go 16-0 during the season, okay? But if you're going to have games in your loss column, out of conference games against NFC teams is the Jets' friend in the loss column. What that means is the Jets last year, when they were tied for tiebreakers and they're in the middle of the pack for a wild card spot, they weren't even close to the tiebreakers. Why? Is because they had all out of conference, they had all in conference losses. Last year they beat up on the NFC South, which were their out of conference wins. It's almost like the opposite, where the Jets are losing to tough NFC teams right now 2 weeks in a row, have no effect on their tiebreakers in their conference. I mean, it's time to improve. It's time to build off your positives, get back to running the football, put your quarterback in successful situations, get to the quarterback, play good defense, and string together a W. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I see what you're saying with the positives, and the thing that worries me is that I'm wondering if these big plays and these big mistakes are just in the Jets' DNA, because it seems like we always make a big play against ourselves or a big fumble or a big pick late in the game. So I'm worried about that, and I have to disagree with Geno being a positive. I looked at that as more of a negative. I think he downgraded himself. I
so
was really
happy with
his first 2 weeks.
So you didn't see any positives from him last night at all? You didn't see positives?
I saw positives as he got, 414 yards, but he overthrew Amaro once. He overthrew Cumberland. He had 2 picks. He took a big sack in the red zone. So there's definitely some negatives there, and I honestly thought that...
He didn't play a perfect game. He didn't play a
perfect
game.
I honestly think that it's obviously not all of his fault, and it's some of the fault of Marty Mordewig in the red zone, but 1-6 it isn't acceptable. And so I took more negatives, I think, from Geno than positives. But to get onto the positive note, Pryor definitely played well in coverage. He had a few pass deflections, so I like what I saw from Pryor in coverage.
Except for Bennett being wide open in the end zone.
Well, that was Phillip Adams' fault. Landry, after that play, was actually looking at him like he had 4 heads, because Phillip Adams, it was one of his first snaps on defense, and he just let him run right by him. So that was completely Phillip Adams' fault. But the offense moved the ball between the 20s very well. We're still second in defense. We're 8th in offense, and we're number 1 in rush D. So that's positives. We still have 2 losses, though. Amaro got more involved. He made a couple of nice catches. He did have that one drop, but that was also a poorly placed ball by Geno Smith because it was a little bit behind him. Another positive is that Walls actually really impressed me last night. He didn't get beat at all. And the one play that he got a pass interference, it was more of a pass interference on Jeffries than it actually was on him. And Allen, and Allen, he got beat a couple times, but I'm not expecting Allen to come into Jet Stadium and lock down Brandon Marshall. So I look at him as a positive. He played pretty well. And other than last week, his open field tackling is one of the best I've seen in a secondary player the Jets have had in a while. So when a person gets a bubble screen or some kind of screen pass around Allen, I'm not too worried that they're going to get past him. And another positive I took from it is that it looks like DeMario Davis is going to be, maybe not this year or the next year, or actually probably the next year, but he looks like he's going to be the leader of this defense. He had another half a sack, so you like to see that we're actually getting sacks, because he had a sack. Wilkerson had a sack and a half. You had David Harris, who had a sack, and obviously that fumble, that forced fumble against Jay Cutler, and then you had Sheldon Richardson. So our pass rush looked solid, so I was definitely happy with what they produced and how they got to Jay Cutler and how they put pressure in his face. Like I said before, it's the first time since 2008 we had 6 red zone trips, so that was a positive at the 414 yards, and I see that as a positive. But I'm just ready for next week, Brandon. This game really left a bad taste in my mouth. It was kind of a boring game there. The fans weren't loud. I was actually kind of disappointed that it looked like there was like 15,000 empty seats, so I wasn't happy with the Jets fans who decided not to come out or sell their ticket or just not go. But I'm definitely ready to get this bad taste out of my mouth, because this game was so winnable. We had so many chances to go down the field and score, but it was just Nick Folk just lit up the fantasy board. I was very, very disappointed in that game.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was very disappointing. I mean, it was absolutely, a game the Jets could have won. We're sitting there saying the same thing from last week. But games in the NFL, shoulda, coulda, wouldas, mean nothing. That is what it is. I think they're a good team. I think they have a lot of potential on offense. They obviously have potential on defense. It's just going to be a matter of trying to string at some point in the game 2 and 2 together. The offense is putting points on the board, and the defense is giving points right back to them. The offense is doing nothing, and the defense is giving them the ball right back. It's like they complement each other when the other is struggling in a game. That's one thing that I take away from it. I don't know if you feel that way, Joe, but I mean, it's like every time the Jets get momentum on offense and they go in and score last night, well, Chicago marched down the field and get points. That's something that the Jets have to get off the field, and they have to not allow points after, they got to try and build off some momentum. And they didn't really do that last night. As soon as the drive to open up the half was atrocious. That was an absolute atrocious way to start the half. But of course, what happened was the offense was settling for field goals. They couldn't do much. And that's when the defense stepped up and kept giving them the ball back. And, you know, even the defense, I'll even give the defense a B for last night, because I thought even if giving up the field goal at the end, you had to keep them out of the end zone. A touchdown in that situation would have iced the game. Game would have been over. They did that. They kept them out of the end zone. They played tough. They were probably gassed towards the end of the game, and they held them to three. So there were some positives last night. Let's go to Glenn, who wants to talk about positives. Glenn, you are on Jet Nation Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Pretty good.
What's up, Glenn?
Just wanted to call on and talk about some of the positives from yesterday. What you guys are going through here. I really felt like, I mean, this front seven lived up to their billing. I know they gave up some plays against Green Bay, so there were people saying, you know, they're overrated because, you know, everything is so knee-jerk and everybody overreacts to everything. But that front seven was absolutely dominant. You look back to a few years ago when they played this Bears team, and, I mean, this offense now is probably better than the one that the Bears had back in 2010. When the Jets played them, and Matt Forte had a combined, about 160 yards against this defense. And, I mean, they just completely locked him down. We all know the questions in the secondary. I mean, you know, did they get beat on some plays? Yes, that's going to happen, especially against a group like this. But, I mean, honestly, with all the turmoil and everything that's been going on with this roster, if I would have told you they were going to hold Jay Cutler to 225 yards passing, you'd have told me I was crazy. All in all, the secondary did a solid job. Of course, getting beat, by the tight end a couple times was frustrating. But, the secondary isn't going to play perfect. You know, we know the situation. As good as Pryor's looked, he's a rookie. And, you got a guy out of place in Allen. And Langster's a, third, fourth, fifth stringer who's really stepped up. Walls, who's looked really great. So I thought defensively they were, the front seven was exactly what they're supposed to be, and the secondary held up against a good group of receivers. So that's always encouraging, because you go into a season for any team, when you hear coaches, fans, media talk about how good a team is supposed to be in a particular area and they don't live up to that billing, and then you're kind of lost. I mean, if they come out this year and this defense struggles, you're like, well, this is the one thing we were supposed to be able to do. And they're not only doing it, they're playing at a very high level. Honestly, the worst they looked was when they had D. Milner in there, who was supposed to be the guy that was going to bring some stability to the position. So that looked great last night. And, I get a loss is a loss at the end of the day, but to me, the difference between these losses and the past few years, and which, it shows me they're heading in the right direction, they're not getting dominated by other defenses. No. They're actually, it's frustrating. I mean, that's what makes it so frustrating. This is two games now. Obviously they won the Oakland game, but that should have been a blowout. And then yesterday, they outgained the Bears, by quite a wide margin. At some point, I know I looked up at the scoreboard, and they'd outgained the Bears by about 130 yards. And you're just, you're pulling your hair out, because it comes down to the muffed punt and the run back on the pick. But they're outgaining opponents, which it didn't happen last year. And I know people, moral victories don't mean anything. Call it what you will. Call it a building block. Like, they're progressing. They're doing things now that they weren't doing before. And to me, that's an encouraging sign in the big picture.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with what you're saying. I think that the Jets, obviously you're seeing differences, because, we're talking about two playoff caliber, even Super Bowl caliber like teams with the Packers and the Bears. You're right. And these are powerhouses, and the Jets are outplaying the powerhouses. The Jets just can't get out of their own way. They can't get out of their own way with turnovers and mistakes. And I feel like we've been repeating ourselves with that, but those turnovers and mistakes have led to blowouts over the past couple years.
Exactly.
They're leading to, you take away those turnovers and mistakes, and you take away a fumble that should have been a touchdown, the Jets are beating them down, but you can't. That's one thing. It's a woulda, coulda, shoulda, woulda is what I like
right.
to say in the NFL. Glenn, what you were saying, in your first point, I disagree with you on a couple things. The first thing I disagree with you about is I don't think the defensive line lived up to their par last night. I think the defensive line finally got going and finally got their engines moving in the second half. That defensive line was nowhere near Jay Cutler in the beginning of the game, and Cutler was picking them apart. They were moving the ball. You know, they could do whatever they want with the ball in the beginning, in the first half of the game. Now, granted, of course, you know, the Jets, you had the muff punt, you had the pass interference, and you had the pick six, so Cutler's not touching the ball as much, but they were moving the ball effectively. Cutler had nobody in his face. I mean, one thing they do is they stop the run better than everybody, obviously. That's granted, that's fine. But the Jets secondary was sitting, they were like sitting ducks in the first half of that game. Cutler was moving the ball with ease. And that's a token on the defensive line. They did not get going, and they did not, you know, get in Cutler's face and even knock him down to the second half. And that's not good. You know, that's where the Jets defensive line, with this secondary and this holes, especially this coming Sunday, I'll tell you right now, if Matthew Stafford has time with his wide receivers and this secondary, it could be very ugly. The Jets need to make sure that their defensive line is getting pressure from the first quarter to the fourth quarter, because if they're as dominant, you know, this is where you're putting all your eggs in one basket with the defense, and that's in their defensive line. I mean, with their offense, sure, you know, their offense, again, they look competent. You're not you're rarely seeing – one thing that you see with the Jets that every Jet fan gets so frustrated with is how many times are we watching a game and you see three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out after three and – you rarely see them go three and out with this offense. That's encouraging. Absolutely. You see them drive the ball. I mean, you're in the red zone six times. You're moving the ball effectively. Now, you have to finish. That's granted. I get it. So those were positives. That's why I took positives away, a little bit of positives from Geno Smith, is because that guy's moving the football. We haven't seen a quarterback move the ball like this in a decent time here. So
right, and that's the thing. It's not going to happen overnight. You know, I mean, as a fan, I want to see progress. If they had come out these first two games and looked like they looked last year, then you're just in no man's land. You're like, what are we doing here? We can't move the ball. It's not going to, you know, he's not going to go from year one to two and improve to the point where he's throwing four touchdowns a game. But, again, baby steps, and we talked about Morningweg, it was maddening. Some of that play calling, you know, I get it. Every play is designed to work and all that. But, you know, the keeper is what drove me nuts. When you had Chris Ivory, was really rolling, and to not give him the ball that deep, you know, that close to the goal line, and let Geno keep it on a QB keeper, that drove me nuts. But again, it's between the 20s, they were off the charts, and we've not seen that in a long time. So as frustrating as it is to lose that game at home, I felt like, you know, this gauntlet of all these tough quarterbacks, this 5-6 game stretch, I really felt like this was the most winnable game, because Cutler is the guy of all those QBs that has that a big tendency to turn the ball over when he gets rattled. And, you know, he had the fumble that he lost, and of course the errant pass he threw that Allen didn't haul in for the interception. That was frustrating, but that's why this one was tough to me, because looking at the schedule, I thought if they're going to win any of these games, this is the one they got the best shot to win. Didn't pan out that way, but there were positives. There were things to draw from. So I'm looking forward to Sunday, and hopefully they manage to beat Detroit. And thanks for taking my call, guys.
Hey, Glenn, thank you. I appreciate it. Well, weekly, and keep going on the site, man. You're rocking and rolling.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Bye bye.
All right, take care.
Thanks a lot, Glenn.
And that was Glenn who calls up. All right, Joe, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna dive into it. We're gonna look at our picks. We're going to pick the four best games of this week, including the Jets game. We're going to talk about the upcoming game against the Lions. I mean, no better way to move past the loss than the day after to start talking about this week's game. We're going to take a quick break. We come back, pick the games. Back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Are you a business trying to get the word out about your goods? Or an organization seeking to make the world a better place? Or a band promoting a new tour or debut EP? How do you keep up with the ever-evolving world of social media? Craft your message and make sure it gets to the right people. The answer is the Strategic Pizza. The Strategic Peacock takes pride in helping organizations create and implement online strategies that appropriately target the right audience with the right information, using the right media.
Media.
From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence. Visit strategicpeacock.com to develop the right web strategies for success.
Hi, I'm Allie, and I'm here to talk about a serious problem. Your children are listening to bad music. They go home, turn on the radio, and get down with their bad selves. You think it's harmless. You think it's just them being a teenager. You're wrong. Nothing is as harmful or addictive as bad music. Soon your kids will start thinking bad music is good, and the world will be filled with only bad music. So talk to your children about the dangers of bad music and tell them about the cure, Indie Outbreak. Indie Outbreak features a huge selection of great indie artists fighting against the bad music plague. Good music to save their minds. Join with us at IndieOutbreak.com, and together we can help stop the spread of bad music.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Let's dive right into it here, Joe. And you got a picks update for me? How did we do last week?
I believe you went 1-4, and I went 2-3. So we didn't have too great of a week.
We're mediocre.
But overall, I'm 10-5, which I'm winning 66% of my games. And you're 9-6. So we'll see what happens. We still have. 14 weeks, so hopefully we can improve our records a little bit, because last week is a little bit ugly for us.
All right, well, let's dive right into it. Let's get the Hard Knocks team going, get everybody a little pumped up. This is Jet Nation Radio Picks of the Week. Remember, you can pick against us. Check out the JetNation.com forums. You want to talk football, it doesn't stop here. Take your water cooler talk with your buddies at work and take it to the forums. You want to talk football? Talk it on JetNation.com. The forums are exploding all over the internet. Everybody's going to JetNation.com to talk Jets, to talk football, to talk in general. Everybody likes to talk to each other. We're men. We like to talk football. That doesn't mean ladies can't go on it. But still, we like to talk football. Now, Joe, let's dive right into it here. Giants going to the Skins. Thursday night football. Who do you like and why?
I'm going to take the Redskins right now, just because it looks like they're getting into their role with Kirk Cousins, who looks like he can actually take the job from RG3. And as of right now, it looks like he might, because he's much more reliable injury-wise. So I think that the Redskins will win that game. And another addition is that the Giants played, even though they won last week, they played absolutely awful. They had a fumble in the red zone. They had a botched snap on a field goal. They looked terrible, but they won the game because they were playing the Texans. So the Giants looked really, really bad, and they continue to have turnovers and mistakes. So I'm going to take the Redskins in this one, Brandon.
Oh, you're looking at my sheet again. I'm going with Washington as well. I mean, the only reason why the Giants won that football game last week, I still don't understand how Ryan Fitzpatrick is the starting quarterback in the NFL. I mean, the Giants played well. Rashad Jennings ran the ball well. I just think that Kirk Cousins against this Giants defense is too much for them to handle. They're going to be really upset after their close loss to the Eagles this week. They're not going to want to be in a position to lose two divisional games in a row. I'm taking the Skins at home. Let's go. Carolina goes into Baltimore. Baltimore crushed my picks last week with a last-minute field goal against the Brownies. Who do you like and why?
Yeah, I'm gonna take the Ravens again because I took them last week against the Browns and I won. So I'm gonna take the Ravens and plus the Panthers let me down last week with the loss to the Steelers. They got blown out on Sunday Night Football. The Ravens look like they're hitting their groove. It looks like their running backs are replacing Ray Rice pretty well. So I think the Ravens are gonna come out in this one. They're gonna win again for the consecutive week.
This is where I make up my game on you in our standings. I am going
I don't believe so,
Panthers.
Brandon.
I'm going with Carolina. They are going to be playing for their lives. Baltimore still looks like a team that's getting by right now. They got by against the Browns. They're not playing tremendous football. They're doing enough to win, which is all that matters, really. But I think the Panthers are going to play for their lives on the road. And remember, one thing to watch out for that Joe does have on his side, Baltimore has Steve Smith Sr., who I'm sure is looking to have himself a day against the Carolina Panthers. But I think he's going to come up short. I'm going with the Panthers on the road. Next game, Philadelphia is flying high. The Eagles are going into San Francisco. San Fran desperate for a win. They don't want to fall to 1-3. Do the Eagles stay undefeated?
No, I'm gonna have to go with the 49ers on here. I don't think that they
cheat again.
I don't think they fall to 1-3. That would be really bad for the Harbaughs, and he would not be happy. So I think that the 49ers are gonna step it up. I think Vernon Davis is gonna have a big game against the Philadelphia linebackers and safeties. So I think that the 49ers pull this out. But you made a good point before, Brian. I just want to touch on it real quick. That Steve Smith looks like he's a boss. He's As of right now, he looks like a top 10, 15 wide receiver. He's stiff-arming people, throwing to the ground. So I really like what I'm seeing from Steve Smith. But, yeah, for this game, I'm going to take the 49ers. I don't think they fall to 1-3. I think they're too good of a team to fall to 1-3, especially at home in their second home game, which they lost their first
game. I don't know if you were here for the conversation about the chip on your shoulder conversation we had here on Jet Nation Radio back in the beginning of the new era here. But, you know, that's an example of a guy playing with a chip on his shoulder. Let's go.
Exactly.
I'm going with the 49ers here as well. Joe's just looking at my sheet, is what it is. San Francisco is not going to fall to 1-3. They cannot lose another home game. Philadelphia's flying high, but they're going across the country. The Eagles lose this game. I don't think anybody's going to be concerned with the way they started this year. So I think this is a must-win for the Niners. They're going to come out and they're going to play their tails off. This is their really, you know, if they're falling to 1-3, you know, they're in a deep, deep trouble. Green Bay goes to Chicago. We know both these teams well. Joe, after what you've seen from the past 2 weeks, what do you think wins and why?
I'm going to take the Packers. The Packers haven't come out to a hot start this year, and they lost to the Lions last week. So I think the Packers and Aaron Rodgers are going to come out hot, and he's going to find Randall Cobb a lot and Jordy Nelson. I don't think they're going to lose another game, especially to the Bears, who have been a the word for it is, I guess, inconsistent team over the last couple of years, and I think that they're going to have a down week this week against the Packers. So I'm going to take the Packers going into Soldier Field.
I'm going with the home team here. I'm going with the Bears. I think Chicago's going to, you know, say thank you to the Jets for that Monday night victory. They definitely feel like they escaped MetLife Stadium with a win rather than going in there and earning it. I think the Green Bay Packers are, you know, they look like a different team, man. They really do. They had a great second half against the Jets that propelled them to not be, you know, winless right now. I think the Bears have a good offense. Forte is going to want to have a monster game against his Packers defensive front. He had nothing against the Jets, so he needs to make it up somehow in terms of his own personal stats. So I'm going with the Bears. They're going to run the ball. I think they're going to play decent defense against Rodgers. And I'm going with the home crowd in Soldier Field. But let's move into our big game, the Jets hosting the Lions. Jets need a win in a desperate way coming off the loss last night. They're going to be playing almost for their lives as well. They don't want to lose another home game. Three games in a row, you're looking at more tough games staring them in the face. Game after game, it's going to be a battle here for the Jets. This is almost a must-win game for the New York Jets. Who wins and why, Joe?
Yeah, it's scary that we're saying that it's a must-win in Week 4, but I have to agree with you. It's basically, it's kind of true at this point. If we go into the Chargers the Chargers stretch with the Broncos and the Patriots coming up as well. If we go into that stretch 1-3, we're really going to be in trouble, and Jets fans are really going to start to panic. But I don't think the Jets are going to lose two in a row, so I'm going to pick the Jets here. I think that the Jets defense and even yeah, there you go. I don't think that we're going to come out soft like we did last game. Something we didn't touch on in this show because we only have an hour, but I think David Nelson's going to step up a little bit this game. He really disappointed me last week, only having a couple catches, and it seemed like every time he touched the ball, he was fumbling the ball. So I think that he's going to step up. I think that we're going to get our tight ends more involved. But we really are going to have to watch out for their weapons, because if we let Johnson get going, and Tate and Pettigrew and Ebron and Bush, and the list goes on and on, if we let this offense get rolling and our offense makes mistakes and we open it up with a pick six or a fumble or anything like that, we're going to be in trouble, because once this offense gets rolling, it doesn't stop. Matt Stafford, just like Jay Cutler, is an inconsistent quarterback. The Lions are also an inconsistent team. They have one of the most talented teams in the NFL, in my opinion, but they're very undisciplined and they're very inconsistent. So I think we definitely have a good shot coming away from last week's game. I think the Jets are going to be fired up. We're definitely going to have to slow down their pass rush as of right now. I don't think it will stand, but they are the number one defense in the league right now, and their pass rush is phenomenal. They get the quarterbacks very, very quickly, so our offensive line is going to have to slow down the pass rush, contain Ndamukong Suh, who I think is the best interior lineman in the NFL right now. Like Rex Ryan said before, Chris Ivory is probably going to get the ball more than Chris Johnson this game. He said it in a conference call earlier today. So I think we're going to have to run Ivory. We're going to have to ride the hot hand. We're going to have to limit Calvin Johnson. Obviously, you're not going to shut Calvin Johnson down. He's by far the best receiver in the game right now. You're going to have to balance out your weapons. You're going to have to use Cumberland. You're going to have to use Amaro. You're going to have to use a little bit of Sudfield. When we get into the red zone, you got to put these guys like Sudfield, who's 6'7", and Nelson, 6'4", and all these guys who are tall in the red zone. We're absolutely have to not go 1-6. I would like to see a number, even if it's 3-6 or 3-5, I would be happy. We have to capitalize in the red zone. And obviously, I've been saying it every week, we're going to need to control the clock. And my last key to a victory would definitely be turnovers. We still, so far this season have not won one turnover battle to teams. We're always down a turnover or two in the game. So this game, hopefully we can catch an interception, or we could get a fumble, and maybe the whistle doesn't blow early and we actually run it to the end zone. So there's a lot of things we're going to have to do, but I don't think that the Jets come into MetLife at a 1 o'clock game and lose again in front of the fans, because the fans would be absolutely destroyed, and Twitter would be a very scary place on a Monday through next Sunday. So I'm gonna take the Jets with a final score of 24-17.
I think you're right on, Joe. I mean, you nailed every single on the head right there. I think the Jets going into this game, they're gonna be playing for their lives. They're gonna be trying to control. It's gonna be a tough game. You're looking at two defensive lines that know how to dominate the football game. I like the Jets in this football game as well. I think you're going into their home crowd. You're 1-2. You could be sitting here going, wow, we could be 3-0. The Lions are an inconsistent team. They're coming off of a big win. So, when the Lions, again, you talk about their inconsistencies, talk about how Stafford flings the ball around. The Jets need to find a way to get to the quarterback and not, obviously you're not going to prevent those receivers from making plays. You have to contain. This is going to be the classic game of bend but don't break defense. You're going to bend, you're going to give up big plays. It's just in the nature. You don't have the manpower to go against these type of wide receivers, but if you keep them out of the end zone, limit them to field goals and make plays on offense, and again, it's going to come down to, are you going to give Matt Stafford and Calvin Johnson extra drives? Are you going to give them more touches on the ball? Are you going to turn the football over and give them second chances? That's what it's going to be. If the Jets come out and they don't have to, obviously we talk about mistake-free football, it really doesn't happen for any team. Everybody makes mistakes, but the Jets need to limit their mistakes, play well enough to win on defense, and keep the offense rolling, run the football to the best you can against this line, open up some lanes for Geno Smith, and see what happens. I'm going with the Jets. I think they put up 27 points this week in a 27-20 victory. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the show. Again, The talk does not stop here on Jet Nation Radio. Check us out at jetnation.com. Join the forums. People are exploding over this whole conversation with Michael Vick, even as stupid as it is. You know, everybody wants to talk about it and chime in. They're talking about the secondary, talking about what could have went right in the Bears game, what the Jets could have done to avoid a second loss in a row. And everybody's already looking to the next game, to what the Jets can do to get back in the win column and even up their record at 2-2. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. We'll be back next Tuesday. Hopefully we'll be breaking down a New York Jets win. We will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Jet Nation Radio.